Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rumor Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Nuda, PapaNuda.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of TheConjureMan.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Papa T of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic on special dirts and dust. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo form, ask form.luckymojo.com and call into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Well, this is Miss Cat, and so glad to be here. Did Conjureman Ali make it in?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, yay! You made it by the skin of your little teeth. I didn't hear you log in. Hi, nice to know you made it. Sometimes I'm the late one, sometimes you're the late one. All righty. Well, we have a very nice show lined up for today, but first of all, I'm just going to give a little bit of news, as I always do. So the news of the day, the July 1st Lucky Mojo newsletter should be in your email box. If you haven't opened it up, go ahead and do so, and you'll find some fun stuff, because we are introducing two brand new candles. Now, last month, we introduced a new label. Not a new product, mind you, a new label. We had a beautiful, if I do say so myself, label for I Dominate My Woman. It showed a man dominating a lady, and it was not a kind picture, but it was a great picture. And I did the design and coloring on that. And we hired Gray Townsend to make the complimentary I Dominate My Man, which had just been one of our generic labels, and it has long since earned its special art label. So Gray did fantastic labels for I Dominate My Man oil and sachet powder, bath crystal, and incense powder. Well, this month, we have now, since we have a pair of them, gone to the candles. And so we have an I Dominate My Man candle and an I Dominate My Woman candle. And lest anyone think these are straight up, oh, love candles on pink. No, these are black wax candles. Okay. And each one of them shows a scene of physical violence. The I Dominate My Woman is kind of a scary picture of a guy threatening to hit a lady, and the I Dominate My Man is a lady who has punched a man and he's fallen down. So these are very severe candles. I can't recommend this myself for the way to run a marriage or a love life. That's why it is what it is. But there are people who wish to have this kind of rulership and control to a cruel level. And sometimes there are people who wish to have this with the consent of the governed, as it were. If you are in a dominant / submissive type relationship and it's consensual, who am I to say, go ahead, burn the black candle, I dominate my man, I dominate my woman. Some people like that as a lifestyle and some like it as a form of play. And I'm not going to say yes or no to any of that, except for that what you see is what you get on those candles. We are offering those candles through Lucky Mojo, and we are offering them at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, which would seem like a very funny, strange thing for a church to be offering such candles. But we are a funny, strange church. We're a church that offers no judgment on people beyond, oh, you know, the Ten Commandments. That's about where we draw the line. So these candles are what they are. So I just want to let everyone know, go and open your newsletter and check it out. And it's really beautiful art. And thank you, Gray, for contributing to that. And also, in the newsletter, there are, of course, our usual discount coupon for different stuff. So check that out too. Okay, that's my news from here. I've been stocking the shop all morning with statuary. And just a word to the wise about statuary. Those of you who are young and who came into the occult, metaphysical, spiritual shop world in the last 15 years probably think that statuary has always been easy to find, always been with us. Why, you name a saint, there's a statue. You name an African deity, there's a statue. This is not so. We have lived through and are now basically coming out the other end of, and not, it's not going to go on, the giant Chinese statuary reality. And I could give you all the long story, and the short story is only this. They ain't making them the way they used to. They ain't making them in the quantities they used to. The giant steel piggyback containers, you know, that go on the flat cars and then are put on the back of a 18-wheeler. No, not happening at this time with the statuary. All that beautiful old clay statuary that was so breakable was replaced with painted-in-China, cold-cast resin statuary. You name the deity, there was a statue for it, and it was cheap. No more, all gone. And I am literally emptying my barn of statuary. 3 months ago, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 shelves full of statuary. I now have 8. There ain't no more. So if you like statues of, say, Kuan Yin or Shakyamuni Buddha or Anubis or, you know, Eligua or whoever you want a statue of, Chango, if you want a statue of Santa Barbara Africana, if you want a statue of the regular old Santa Barbara Europeaniana, if you want any of those statues, St. Cyprian, if you want any of those statues, check it out now, because they are not coming back. And it's not for lack of our ordering. Can I get a witness on this?
Yeah.
This is true.
It's true. True, so true. And we'll all look back on the early 2000s as this glorious time of these statues. And unless somebody else picks up the ball, they ain't coming back. There are still statues, but they won't be cheap, and they won't be like they were. And they won't be, not every store is going to have all of them like they used to. We had shelves of them. Gray Wolf is in the chat room going, yep. Papa Newt's going, saw the progression. Nods, I can attest to this. Yeah. Gia says, I have my collection of statuary, and I am glad. Me too. I've got them now, but you all better get them. Okay, that was my announcement of good tidings and bad. So I'm going to bring in Countryman Ali. How are you doing today, friend?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking. Sad to see the shift in the statuary, but it is very true. Just because of the way the economy works, just because of the way shipping works, just because of the way making them works, they are not going to be as readily available as they used to be. So if you're interested in statues, this is the time to get them before it becomes scarce and the price goes up. I have a couple statues from Lucky Mojo myself. I have a St. Cyprian statue, so highly recommended. On my end, I've been, just real brief news, I would say that this has been the week of really taking stock. I mean, I'm going through and going, what oils do I need, and what powders am I running low on, and what candles do I need orders? So I'll be putting in an order very soon as I write down what it is I'm running on. When you're a root worker, you tend to go through products quite, you know, in a large amount. I have root work special size oils that last me a long time. But that's what I've been doing this past week. Time to restock the shelves, time to restock as I take on new clients and you know, do the work that I quite enjoy doing.
Well, that's another thing. Summer is a good time for restocking on everything because the weather is nice. You don't feel like you got to huddle in a corner in six sweaters you don't need to stand out in the rain, and you can just sit and put things on a table and look at them and go, what do I have here? Take stock of what you got.
Well, it's a perfect time because you've just finished spring cleaning, too. So you go,
that's right.
I need this oil. I need that.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I'm going to bring in our guest here. Welcome to the show, Papa G.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat.
It's so nice to have you. You've been on here before. We always enjoy having you as a guest. So just to give a little introduction, Papa G is based in Tennessee. And Papa G, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are and where you come from?
Well, I'm originally from Kentucky. I've lived in Nashville since, I think I'm coming up on 30 years.
Mm.
My husband and I, Dr. Bastian, we both live here right in the middle near the airport. I think I've been a graduate from the Hoodoo, your Hoodoo course for, I think, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I had a history in Appalachian folk magic, which now I'm restudying. And we have a shop here in town, 11 years in the same location. It started as a soap and candle shop, and now it's become a full-fledged metaphysical New Age hoodoo shop. So,
wow.
With Lucky Mojo in it.
Yeah, I know. And you've also written a few books. You might want to say something that, too.
I have a bestseller that's Making Soap from Scratch. I wrote a book on essential oils. I'm actually a certified aromatherapist. A couple of satire books, and then my most recent book came out at the end of April, middle of April, and the fifth book was The Use of Magical Oils in Hoodoo Prayer and Spell Work.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's really great.
And I just had my 50th birthday. No. End of April, I turned 50.
Wow.
Yay.
Oh,
yay.
Congrats.
Yes. Now that makes you another Taurus, right?
Right.
Right.
Uh-oh.
So
look out.
Now
it's
we can.
Taurus hour.
Yeah, this is a four Taurus show again. for those who are new to listening to this show, we count how many Tauruses we have. The most we can have is a four Taurus show, and this is a four Taurus show. The least number of Tauruses we could have would be a one Taurus show. There will never be a Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour without at least one Taurus, I believe. is that correct, Ollie and Papa Newt?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yes, yeah, but we average, two to three Tauruses, but a four Taurus show is always special. Okay.
Have you gone through and figured out how many in air or are Tauruses?
No, you know, I never have, but I know that air has a predominance of Capricorns also.
Mm-hmm. It does.
But there are a number, there have been and are Tauruses. It's a very, I think that root work, once you say the word root, you're kind of going earth. And I don't want to go all Wiccan pagan, but, earth magic, and all that earth mysteries. We're kind of earthy people. And
we are.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're, whatever. That's us. So, four Taurus show. Okay, so now let's get to our topic, because that's what people dialed into, not to hear me talk. We're talking. Oh, and look what we're talking about, Papa G. We're talking about conjuring with special dirts.
A very Taurus topic.
Yeah, very, very earthy and grounded.
Okay, that deserves a special mention. I mean, we're not even talking about candles, folks. We're talking about dirt. Okay, so I'm going to bring in a little bit of an opening to this. A lot of African American magic concerns foot track spells. And foot track magic does exist around the world, and there are several places where it is practiced. But African foot track magic is very popular, African conjuring with dirts, dusts, and powders. And, of course, those powders would have been powdered dirt of some sort or another, clay or something of that nature, including ashes are considered a form of dirt. And so those types of things are used in African magic, and they persisted in African American magic, where African Americans ran into some Northern Europeans who also used foot track magic, although in a different way. Their use is not so much of the dirt, but the foot track. They would, you know, in hunting magic, to stop somebody from catching game, you might, nail his foot track so he couldn't walk far into the woods, things like that. You know, there's a lot of counter hunting anti-competition, in other words, to hope somebody else doesn't shoot the deer that's in the woods, but you'll be able to. And a lot of that does use foot track magic, but not compared on any level with the amount of foot track magic in hoodoo, which is African American folk magic. We are really well stocked with spells that use foot tracks and therefore dirt. And I'm just going to give one example of a foot track spell, and then I'm going to turn this over to Papa G. So just as an example, one of the very first spells I ever learned as a young woman, and this was in the city, but the lady who taught me was from the country and had been raised up in Mississippi. And she said, well, back in the day, if you had an affection for a boy and you were, you know, at a party at someone's house, and, you know, they didn't go to nightclubs, this was out in the country, you know, and he went out to pee, and you could get a mullein stalk and stab it in the wet ground where he had peed, that mullein stalk that you stabbed into that dirt would hold his affection for you, especially if you peed on top of his pee, and then stabbed it in, and he'd always come back to you. And this is the kind of working with dirt that really has no corollary when we talk about modern magic, because it is very, as we say, earthy, it's very personal, and it makes use of the dirt, in this case, with his pee in the dirt, that dirt has now been marked. And one of the concepts that we see a lot in hoodoo is marked dirt, so the dirt of a foot track or the dirt of a place. Having said all of that, I'm going to turn this over to Papa G. You take it away, hon.
Thank you, Miss Kat. But, you know, I used to do a lot of work with dirt when I was doing more Appalachian-style magic. And then I sort of got away from that for a while, and then I was doing a reading for when a root work consultation for a client, and she really wanted a personal concern, but she didn't have one. She didn't have hair. She didn't have fingernails. She didn't have anything. So, and it's a guy she had been seeing. So I asked her. I said, "Well, when was the last time he came to see you?" And it was 3 days before that. And I asked her if it had rained, and she said no. So I had her go out and sweep the porch, gather up all the dirt she could, and that was her personal concern. Mm. The place he had walked to enter her house.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started researching. Go ahead. I started researching more about dirt and dirt magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to use dirt from different places. If you want to bring in money, you get dirt from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Use it in your spells. Dirt from your own property, mix it in with ingredients for protection. You can use it from, I like the one about using it from an ancestral home or homeland, if you can get it, to connect with your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I was going to say something about the bank, because this is something that comes up all the time. There's no dirt around my bank, Miss Cat. It's all cement. Well, then on the next thing I say is, are there planters?
Right.
Oh, yeah, they're planters. Then get the dirt from the planter. What if they say, oh, there's no planters? Then I say, is it a brick building? Does it have mortar between the bricks? Right? Scrape a little of the mortar out. There are many ways to get dirt from a building that you wouldn't think you could get dirt from. And it may not be the best or the most plentiful, but I had one client who actually changed banks, because there were two banks that she could have gone to, and one had was all brick, and not brick, rather, all concrete, all the way down to the ground, and it was concrete on the ground. And the other bank, she said, had a lovely little garden. I said, guess which bank I'd bank at? Not only does it have dirt that you can get, but those people care about the earth enough, and they care about beauty enough, that they actually put a little garden in front of their bank. Well, that would be the bank I would choose. And, of course, in a small town, don't forget the parking strip, or what's sometimes called the curb strip. Even if the bank is dirt up to the side, I mean, is a cement up to the sidewalk, the curb strip still may have dirt. Anyway,
right.
That's my contribution.
And also using dirt from a church for your spiritual matters, especially, I tell people, you know, if you have work you want to do on your own marriage, go and collect the dirt from the church you were married in, if you were married in a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mix mm-hmm. it with things like Adam and Eve, sachet powders or incense or...
That's nice.
And also looked at dirt. You know, dirt does soil. People ask, what's the difference? Well, soil, you know, has a lot of organisms in it, sometimes worms. So you may use things from a compost bin or anything, you know, like wormy dirt for baneful work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I say, too, is people will often say, well, I want to go to the graveyard and get some graveyard dirt because I want to have this spirit or this other, you know, such and such help me. And you can do a little research nowadays. You can do research online. Who's buried in the cemetery? Is there a policeman? Is there a famous singer? Is there a woman known for her charity who's buried there? And, of course, we all know about working with graveyard dirt to get that spirit to help you. And, of course, you would want to leave an offering of some kind for that spirit. But there are many old spells that use the dirt of a soldier or the dirt of a policeman. I'm going to tell you one that I've often run across, and I found it touching and fascinating in a way. This relates to being black in America and not trusting the police. But in some of these small towns, there was a white policeman who was nice, and or a sheriff who was a good man and was not racist and was not hurting people. And when that man died, they would apply to that person, the captain of police or chief of police who had passed away, and say, please protect me against these new ugly policemen. And so mm-hmm. policemen's dirt might be used for your perimeter guard or to carry. And likewise, here's where it gets really funky and strange. What if you knew a policeman who accepted bribes? Now, I'm not talking about a nice policeman. I'm talking about a guy that you bribed and that so that you could carry on an illegal business, such as back in the old days, bootlegging or maybe selling drugs or something. But the guy took bribes. Well, he dies. You want to put a little bit of his dirt in your shoes so that wherever you walk, he's guiding your footsteps. You won't get busted by the next guy who's got the job. And you can also dust some of that on your money, too. So even a bad policeman who took bribes can be used to help mm-hmm. someone who's in the sporting life.
Mm-hmm.
And the most common, I think, way of working with dirts for a lot of root workers is that of mixing powders into it and concealing powders. So that's something to consider, is, you know, gathering dirt, mixing in powders. And one of the ways that in Virginia in particular, we worked with dirts of any time. If you were laying out dirts, you were capturing dirts, you usually burned a petition paper to ash and mixed it in with the dirt. And that was a very common way of fixing the dirt for your intent. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you were wanting to keep your lover from leaving and you captured their foot track. You would put in some stay with me powder, mix it in, place on top of that dirt a petition paper where you prayed that this person will stay with you. You've mm-hmm. written their name three times and written yours over it three times, some type of petition paper. You would then burn the petition paper until it turned to ash, mix it in with that dirt and the powder that you put in there, and it fixes the dirt. And that was a very common way in Virginia mm-hmm. in particular to fix dirt for your intent, mm-hmm. to burn petition paper in ash. And then mix it in with the dirt.
That is absolutely found around the country too, not just in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that earlier, that ash stands in for dirt. And petition, a photo, any kind of paper that you burn to ash, you can mix it with dirt and then use that dirt to sprinkle. And you would sprinkle it, or you could mix it with powders, make a three-way mix of the ash, the powders, and the dirt, depending on what kind of work you're doing. Now, I'm going to mention something else about dirt. People think of it as something you sprinkle on, you know, on the ground, and it is. And one of the ways that when people sprinkle powder on the ground, they get caught out. Like, oops, I threw powders on this guy's porch and he noticed it. The reason they get caught out is they don't know enough about this tradition to mix dirt with the powders.
Right.
And so I always tell people, you want to mix your local dirt with powders. Why do I say local dirt? Well, there's that red Georgia clay, and there's that brown, almost black South Bay adobe. You know what I'm saying? Up here, I live on the Gold Ridge, and it's a yellowy, sandy soil. The dirt will, you can't just go down to a metaphysical shop and order, send me some dirt. It needs to be local dirt because you want to mix it with your powders to dilute any brightness in the powders. And that's a very important way to work.
Yeah, if you, unless it's carpet and you're rubbing it into the carpet, if you lay out powders and people look up, they walk by and they see giant splotches of white or pink or whatever color the powder is, and they know a little bit something about something, they know what you've done, right? So in addition, if they know nothing, they're like, what the hell is this? But if they know something, then you've been caught out. They'll walk around it. They won't come close to it. They'll pour jinx killer on it. That's why you lay out dirt, because people don't notice dirt. It's a way of concealing your work and being sneaky in regards to that. But it's not just concealing. The dirt in it itself is quite powerful, right? You are tapping into something there. And I know Miss Cat used the term earth magic, which you might not find in hoodoo or conjure, but the concept is very much there. The idea of that there's some type of power in dirt, which is why we capture dirt. It's why we foot tracks are so important. And it's also the difference between, I would say, European foot track magic, which focuses on the symbol of the foot track, versus African and Congolese forms of foot track magic that sees the physicality of the foot track as power, as a way of linking to someone. And, one of the most kind of classic examples of that in hoodoo is literally capturing someone's foot track in the dirt. As they leave, you use something like a spatula or a similar device to lift the foot track, and then you've captured it. You have a connection directly to them. If you were aiming to bring that person back or keep it, you would turn the foot track so that it's always leading towards your house. Simple, straightforward, very powerful work. Also quite common that for mothers, when their children would leave, right, and they would go somewhere on a trip, they had some type of dangerous journey, they would reach down with their hand, with their actual hand, grab the foot track, again, keep it in a pouch close to their hearts, and that means that that child will always come back home.
What I call the leaving home foot track is very important, and this is something, you mentioned a spatula, and I've seen people do it and been taught to do it a couple of ways. If it's a muddy foot track and it's dried, you can actually take a spatula and lift it and flip it like a pancake, so you flip it heel for toe so that the person comes back. And then you change it to a returning foot track. If the ground is soft, sandy, there's nothing that you can flip really easily, you just take a pinch and swap it. You take a pinch of the heel and a pinch of the toe, and you change their places. But you pray, may he come back, you see, or she, or whoever it is, so that they will return to you. And you can keep it with you as well. And another thing is, if you want someone to go far away, and you don't want them to return to you, you can take their foot track, grab it up with a spoon or a spatula and carry it to a river and dump it in and say, as this river runs and runs, so may John Doe run and run and run down this river till he runs out to sea or whatever, you know, and he's just going to go, and his foot track goes, and that's it, you know. So dumping a captured foot track into rivers.
Wasn't there always also something about if the foot track was in, like, your own property or something, driving a nail into it to keep that person to you?
Yes.
Trying to remember
where I'm remembering
that from.
That's similar to what I just mentioned about the mullein stalk. The lady who taught me said you need a mullein to do that, but you could do it with a nail. I'm sure there were other ways to do it with a stick and so forth. Indeed, you can nail someone's foot tracks down. And that's it's a way to. You can also whip someone's foot tracks. I've demonstrated that before. You just get a whip and you just whip their foot track till it's gone from the earth. And that whips, and you whip them from heel to toe. You whip them out of town. Now, getting back to special dirts, though, because more than foot tracks, we're really talking about using these dirts around the property and how you would do it. We also have some other things which are. Dirt, which are kind of dirt, kind of not dirt. One of them is anvil dust, which is the dirt that accumulates around a blacksmith's anvil. And it's a mixture of dirt and oil and metal powder. Also magnetic sand, which is finely powdered and sifted fragments of magnetic iron or iron that's not magnetic that can be stuck to a magnet. And you can find it by running a big electromagnet down through a beach, and you'll find all this magnetic sand, especially in California. But magnet dirt and anvil dirt are very powerful kinds of dirt, and they can be used in and of themselves. People always think of them to feed your lodestone with anvil dust or feed your lodestone with magnetic sand. But those are magnetic dirts in and of themselves, and you can carry them in a mojo. You can mix them with another dirt. For instance, if I wanted money, I might take some magnetic sand or some anvil dust, and I might mix that with the bank dirt and then make that into a little packet, and with some five-finger grass to get favors granted, go in and ask for a loan. I'm attracting things to myself. I'm asking for favors. I've got their dirt in there, and they're going to bend to my will.
Oh, yeah, that's a real good one.
Mm-hmm. There was one I had seen which we used. I think you can incorporate dirt into it from your own home to keep your man at home. It was originally put salt and pepper in his shoes, but I mentioned you could also use dirt from your home. And you're supposed to continuously walk in the front door carrying his shoes. You walk all the way to the back door and dump out the contents, go out and start again. Keep walking into the house with his shoes until you're finally done and you put your shoes back where you found them, but a little bit, make sure they're pointing into the house, which you can still leave a little bit of that foot track work inside the shoe.
Yeah, I was always taught never to let your man put his shoes under the bed with the toes pointing out. If your man is so ill considered that he puts his shoes under the bed when he goes to bed with the toes pointing out, you got to turn him pointing in under the bed so he'll stay. always pointing into the room, into the bedroom, and toward the bed.
Another way of
getting. I was going to say, there's getting the dirt from your enemy's house, which can be a little bit harder.
Oh, yes. Well, enemy dirt, now there's an interesting thing. People will often, back in the old days, they try to get outhouse dirt. In other words, dirt from around the shitter, if you excuse my language, out behind the house. And that is considered to be foul dirt. And you can use that. Of course, it's a form of personal concern in a way. And you can also conceal dirt by putting it in a potted plant under the potting soil, right? So let's say I wanted to grow some money, and I get one of those little lucky bamboos or some whatever it is I want to grow. Some thyme is also good for growing money. Or maybe I want to grow some home protection with rosemary. But I would go get some good dirt that had a powerful meaning to it. For instance, let's say my mother had a happy marriage, and she had always ruled and controlled in a gentle and generous way my father. And I was now marrying and embarking on a knife. And she had a rosemary bush. I'd go get some dirt from under her rosemary bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd put my own little rosemary, and I'd say, now may I rule and control my husband the way my mother did with Dad. Just a sample of how you might borrow someone's dirt from their house and from under their plant and then put it under your plant.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways to work with dirt also is to capture the spirit or work with the spirit of a place. So we talked about dirt from banks and from various places, like amongst the four corners of a home. But you could also work with the spirit of, for example, a city. And this isn't always common. It's not found in every single region of hoodoo, but there are a lot of places where they'll tell you to go to the city center or the town center and gather dirt from there if you want to work directly with the spirit of that city, of that town. Turn it to your favor. And usually it's done by placing it in a bowl and lighting white candles in that bowl, in that dirt. And I've done this particular working. It's really good if you're inclined towards things like social justice, towards activism, towards justice work, community work. You can really tap into the spirit of that city or town and turn it to your favor.
Sounds like, that reminds me that you could almost like go get some dirt from a place you wanted to obtain a job from.
Mm.
Oh, yes. I have found that to be very successful. Many of these large corporations have what they call a campus. And on the campus, there's a big sign, usually low. And, I mean, you can imagine it says Google on it, or it says AT&T, or whatever the hell right? And that sign is almost invariably planted because they want to have a campus. It's planted in a lawn or in dirt. And then they, you know, have some guy mowing around that thing. Go there and take a photo of yourself in front of that sign and get some dirt from under that sign. And then bring that home, and you can use that photo of yourself. You can burn, you know, say your prayers over it. May I be hired at this place. Burn that to ash, your picture, and then mix it with the dirt and mix it with dirt from your house. And then, I mean, you know, not your front yard or whatever. And then if you can walk there or drive there, stop a few places along the way. This is the path I'm going to take to get there. And then return all that dirt, if nothing else, at least from your house, return that dirt to where that sign is and say, this is the path I walked to get here, right? And you have done something and you've put yourself basically in the picture.
Yes.
Oh, there's our music. Wow. There are so many of these dirt spells, and I love them. And, of course, like I said, it's a four Taurus show. All righty. We're going to turn this over to Taurus number three, Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Papa G, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 409 in Texas. This is Keith. Keith, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. I see you're a first-time caller, so welcome, and thank you for allowing us, for giving us the opportunity to help you on this situation. Now, looking at your information here, I see you have not had any readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali, but you did, on this situation, had a reading with Miss Aida back in March of this year?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Keith. And he writes, my girlfriend's parents won't let us be together, and they treat her like a child, even though she is 23, because she lives in their house, and she is in nurse school.
Miss Aida said that there was a spiritual entity to blame in the house, and I am looking for what is going on and what can I do to remove all resistance and have our love blossom without resistance. Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, Keith, may I first ask a question? How old are you?
I'm 27.
You're 27. Okay, so you're still young, too, but you're old enough to know that you want this woman and that she should be permitted at the age of 23 to have her own life. All right. And,
absolutely.
Now, you said that Miss Aida said there was a spiritual entity to blame in the house. And so did she tell you, and I'm going to ask this, you know, not trying to trying to figure out exactly what she said, but is this a spiritual entity that is influencing her parents? In other words, is there some entity in the home that's saying keep control of her, or is it an ancestor?
I believe it was just a nasty spirit just a nasty spirit that was all in the house and trying to feed off negativity that was in the house and try to make a bad place. Yeah,
I understand. Like, and those spirits, such spirits do exist. And I'm going to say, thank you, Miss Aida. You're lucky. She told you it's not an ancestor. This is good. And a negative spirit in the house has less a hold over the young woman than if it was her own ancestor. So thank God for small mercies. All right, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to ask one more question. I'm sorry. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. And what is the lady? What is she?
She's a Cancer.
Ah, okay. So Cancers are interesting because they are very influenced by their home vibes. You know, Cancer is the sign of the home, the home builder. And all right, first card, number one, and I got is called the Lovers. Well, the two of you will make a good couple, and this is actually a very favorable card. It shows an angel, and this is the angel Uriel, and this angel is watching over Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they surely must have shook that thing. And this is a card about sexuality and love. It's about maybe having to be driven from the Garden of Eden. She may have to leave home to get free to be with you. In other words, you know, part of what...
To be honest.
Good. Well, this is good. You want to ask the angel Uriel to help because Uriel is kind of like both a protector of the lovers and also one who says you can't go home again. In other words, you're not going to be a baby forever. And so this is a card that is really very, very favorable. And I would say that you guys are, I wish you all the best because this is really good. But you're going to need to get her, you're going to need to get her out of there. That ain't going to work with her in there. Okay. Now I'm getting the negative entity. And this negative entity shows up in my reading here as the Nine of Wands. This is an entity or spirit who basically wants to have everyone who comes into the home kind of be trapped in the home. It's a kind of a negative looking back, past-oriented spirit, mentally ill spirit, could be a spirit of someone who lived in the home previously, jealous spirit.
It hurts. It's broken things in the house, and she's felt it constantly. She's had dreams about it too. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, this is not good. This is not a good spirit. And I'm not going to say. I mean, you could do a whole lot of work to exorcise this spirit, but in my opinion, better that you all just split. This spirit is pretty entrenched and is brooding over injustices of the past, as perceived, or victimization of the past, is trying to build almost like a wall or trap in this house. Not good at all.
Oh, my gosh.
And why do you say that?
It's a phantasm. Like, can't he just move on? He won't have more peace than the other.
Well, I tell you something, and I'm going to be real honest here. My goal is to do a reading for you and the young lady. But as far as that spirit goes, there are things that can be done. There is spirit elevation. if you would wish to engage in it. But in my opinion, just get her out of there. That's what I'm seeing. Because the third card is the card of temperance, and that's another angel, and it just says, walk on, walk on. The two of you, the angel shows two cups, one in each hand, pouring water from one cup to the other, and it shows communion between these two cups. This angel is Raphael, and it shows a path that has been interrupted. You have to walk through a little bit of water, but it's not deep. No problems. You get back on the path, and you'll be at your go to your goal, which is a crown in the sky. This is a very beautiful thing. So this negative entity really is not your problem. However, I will repeat, there are ways to call in a spiritual worker to elevate that spirit and get that spirit to move on and up. And you can read about those in a number of books that we've published or it's not an impossible task, but I don't think it's necessary for you. My kind of feeling here is that truly the two of you have so much going for you that's just fantastic. I really wish you well. I mean, I'm looking at this, and it looks like a good you could be married. A copacetic relationship. I mean, how many times are you going to have two angels here going in? You guys have some kind of a telepathic bond between the two of you. Really, it's a lovely set of cards with this creepy thing in the middle. So I wish you the best. Now, in the chat room, Lucky Mojo Curio, which is Nagashiva, asked, will the parents of the woman be affected still if they leave? What an interesting question, and I'm going to throw one more card on that. That wasn't the primary question, but how does this entity affect the parents? Okay, and
it's mine to them. They want to imprison her just like it wants to imprison everyone.
Yes, I get that. And the card I have here is the Hanged Man. And that is a guy who's hung upside down and trapped. So to answer Nagashiva's question in the chat room, the spirit wants them to be trapped in the house. And but we cannot actually be concerned with that at this point. I mean, you know, we got to get this young couple on the path to their happiness. That's all I can say about that. Not a good spirit. If the parents want help, go ahead and offer help. But I would just say, not so cool for the parents.
Right now, we don't see a quick like getting out of here. She thinks it's going to be months until we can actually move out on our own. And
it may be.
And knowing that it's a spiritual entity, I'm wondering about getting dirt from four priests and putting four priests dirt around the four corners of the house.
Well, we'll get to that. We're going to get you one more reading,
okay,
and we'll get you some root work. Oh. But as a Taurus, I can see where you're going with the dirt. You're not trapped in there, as Void says. And Gray said something too. We're all a bunch of psychics here. Gray said something very interesting. Seems like the spirit is afraid of being left alone. That's very, very astute on Gray's part. Let's turn this over to Papa G, and we're going to see what he has to read on this, and then we'll get you some root work advice.
Thank you so
Hello,
much.
Keith.
Hello, Papa G.
I'm going to read for you with Lenormand cards, which are French cartomancy cards. I call them down and dirty cards. They kind of get to the root, the heart of something. And I pulled three. The first one is the Anchor card. And, you know, sometimes the Anchor is used as a positive card, meaning stability and reaching your goals. But also it means being stuck in one place. And the way these cards are read, it's the next card that tells me why someone is stuck in one place. And it is something that's completely negative because it's the mice card. People think, oh, cute little mice. But this card actually means, because what do mice do? They get into your pantry, your cupboard, whatever, They eat your food, meaning they take things away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So what this being stuck and anchored into this one location by whatever the force is eating away not only at your relationship, the family unit, the relationships going on in the house, and probably, you know, some of their psyche too, worrying about things like this.
Yes.
The final
not very
card,
healthy relationships in there.
Right, right. So which would cause fighting and you know, anything that's taking away from a good family home, being, you know, locked in this situation. And the last card is the stork, which literally means, some people think, oh no, I'm having a baby, but the stork means moving away. Physically moving to a different location. So all together, stuck in this place where there's this nasty stuff going on that's eating away at your future, their happiness, and the only way to solve it is to move out of that particular location.
All right, so now what we really need to talk about is what you're saying here is that you need this to speed up a little bit. You need this to go a little bit faster, because if it's months and months, it's going to be a lot of stress on you. The card
because
of temperance.
Because we can't even be on the phone. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, right. I get this. I understand. The card of temperance says, "Don't worry. You have a connection. It's not going to break. The connection will not be lost." The card of temperance, if you just look at that angel and think about that, the connection is there. But let's see about how we can maybe speed up the economics of this mm-hmm. and see what can be done. So I'm going to turn this over to Taurus number two.
Thanks, Kat. Keith, I have a couple questions before I dive in. What ethnicity is the girl?
Regular white female.
Okay. The reason I ask that, because sometimes there are social, ethnic, cultural backgrounds that play a role in relationships and why people don't get on. I agree. There's a very dark spirit here. There is something else going on as well. There is an ancestor present. I'm a spiritual medium, so I also work with the spirits of the dead, and I work with ancestors quite heavily. There's an ancestor that is not particularly happy with you or this relationship, and this is a male ancestor. And you're going to have to get that male ancestor to come over to your side a little bit. This is different from the spirit that's in the house. The spirit in the house is parasitic. The male ancestor is looking out for their descendants and is protective. So you're going to have to leave water and a white candle out for this ancestor in order to get this ancestor to be on your side, to say, hey, look, I mean her no harm. I'm interested in really being her partner in life, really doing good by her. When this ancestor sees that that is the case, they will then be on your side and help to move this along. They will become an ally. It will become the spiritual family that she needs, because getting her away from her family is a complicated process. Families have bonds that are not easily broken, no matter how toxic, no matter how problematic, no matter how cruel a family can be. Those bonds are not easily broken, and most of the work that you do should be about helping her move in a healthy way. Any type of attempt to kind of break the family apart is not going to be met well by the ancestors. And so this is why it's very important for you to leave out a cup of water and a white candle for this ancestor and speak to it. Say, look, this is my intentions. This is what I hope to achieve. She loves me. I love her. You have to work the angle of the ancestor, because that is the hidden component here, right? The spirit that's in the house, that's a problem, but you can protect from that spirit. And once she leaves the home, that spirit will not be able to follow her, right? It's bound to the place. The spirit of the ancestor ever can cause problems going forward, and that's a very important thing. So work with the ancestor. The ancestor can then become your guardian and your ally. It's really, really important that you work with Uriel. Uriel is going to be the helper here. It's the angel that will protect her from the spirit, protect her from the toxic elements of her family, and help her to move forward. And this cat saw two angels in her readings, and that's a very clear sign. Work with the angel Uriel. You only need to light a candle and offer up prayers. Uriel doesn't require a lot of like ritualistic work. Just light a candle, offer up prayers, ask for help. You can leave out a bowl of Althea in order to cultivate the relationship with him. Now, in order to help with the move, there's a few things that you need to do. First, you need to help with protection on her end. Get slippery elm and bay leaves. Burn it to ash while you recite Psalm 91. Take this ash, have her place a pinch of it in her shoe. This will help her navigate both within her house, the issues with her family, and the spirit. It will keep the spirit from latching onto her, keep from her being influenced by the spirit, and it will allow her to kind of slip through the machinations of her parents. If her parents are trying to dominate her, if her parents are trying to control her, if her parents are trying to speak to her, the slippery elm helps to move through that without any of it getting stuck on her. Consider doing some sweetening work on the family. They'll never fully be on your side, but if you can get them to loosen their hands just a little bit, that will give you the wiggle room in order to make the plan necessary.
Yeah,
you can
I was thinking blockbuster work or something.
Blockbuster work is really great if there's some type of block in the way. It's usually more aligned towards when there is cross conditions, when there's a serious roadblock. You want to be careful in a family situation. I would recommend road opener instead. Light the road opener candle assists with that. And then also get yourself a honey jar going. In that honey jar, I want you to put in deer's tongue, some clove, some basil. And you're going to place this into a photo of you, her, and her family. You can, if you don't have a photo, Photoshop it, tape, whatever you want to do. Place that into a honey jar and work that so that they can hear what it is you're trying to say. Then you need to work on helping her move out. That's just to give a wiggle room, that's to ensure that the relationship can repair itself at some point, even if they may not be behind the move right now. It's to give you the opportunity that in down the line, they come around towards you two being together. In the immediate present, that's not likely going to happen. So you're working on building a future here and ensuring that things go smoothly for you. That's where you work with the ancestor. That's where you work on the parents, even though the parents are not on your side right now. To help move her, what I want you to do is set up a altar of some sort or place where you can work with candles. I want you to have on the right side a white candle representing you. You can get a white figural candle. You, on the left side, I want you to place her family. You can put her mom and her dad, two white figure candles, and next to them, a white candle representing her or a white figure candle representing her. You're going to anoint hers and yours with love oil. You're going to anoint theirs with separation oil. You're going to light the candles, pray over it. Over 7 days, you're going to move her candle one step closer to yours until she finally reaches you on the seventh day, and you let it all melt down, hers and theirs. Keep your wax, dispose of theirs at their home. That's what I would recommend in order to help her move to with you wherever it is you need to go.
That's really great. I love that moving candle spell. Move her candle toward yours over 7 days. That's fantastic. You also mentioned getting dirt of a priest to help with the exorcism. I would not think that you're going to be able to do that yourself. You may need to hire a helper. All righty. Thank you very much. And call back and let us know how things go. And we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and he's going to bring in our next reading.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 305 in Florida. This is Gigi. Gigi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, and thank you for allowing us to help you with your situation. And I do look, looking at your information here, I do see you have not had any private readings with Ms. Kat or Kunzman Ali, but you have had a reading with Ms. Aida at the end of May. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Thank you so much. And Gigi writes, oops, pardon me, my screen just went blank. Oh, there we go. My ex-boyfriend and I broke up back in April after a huge blowout, and things have been terrible since. He has left our house. He has filed for a 50-50 custody of our baby boy, who isn't even a year old, and refuses to speak to me with about things that are not related to our son. I have been working on a honey jar since the middle of May. Although it started to make him nicer, things went back to him not wanting to be around me. I also purchased a fixed healing candle from Lucky Mojo, as well as a reconciliation love me powders, as per Ms. Aida's recommendation. Would like to know if I would waste my time or your help would greatly be appreciated. Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. So, Gigi, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How long were you together?
We were together for 3 years, but we've known each other since I was 13.
Okay. And is there a reason you guys didn't get married?
Everything.
I mean, when you were
so
pregnant,
soon.
You know. I'm sorry, say that again?
Everything happened so soon. We had to move. We were incurring, you know, more expenses because of the baby, looking into a new home. So, you know, we were kind of putting that on the back burner and didn't really give it a priority.
Okay, I'm going to say something here, and I'm going to be very blunt. Having a child out of marriage has a meaning in our culture, in our society. It doesn't cost anything to get married. What, you know, a few dollars for a license. You don't have to have a party even. Just go get married. But it means that there's a commitment. And it also means, and I'm going to be very blunt, if you were married for a certain amount of time, you would be able to be an inheritor of the man's social security if he were to die before you. So again, every woman under my voice here, please get married when you're going to have a child, because if the man were to die and you were married for 10 years, you'd get his social security. If not, how are you going to get it, right? So my opinion here, and of course men do tend to die before women, I'm just saying, this is true of men and women, and men, of course, if the woman were to die. My feeling here is that this was undertaken without a serious commitment, and I understand Gia said it. He knew his rights, and that is going to be a difficult situation. Conjure Benali said, "This is the Miss Aida's clients checking in show." Why, so it is. All right. I'm going to turn this reading over to Ali and see what he has to say.
I'm just going to say that Miss Kat gave you some really important insight right there. I know she spoke really briefly, but I think you really need to consider what she said and reflect on that a little bit. And anyone who's listening to the show, please rewind and listen to that bit right there. It's practical advice born from spiritual insight, right? Very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask a couple of my own questions real quick. First and foremost, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Mine is an Aries.
You're an Aries. And what's his sign of the zodiac?
Surprise, surprise, he's a Taurus.
He's a Taurus. Okay. Now, Tauruses and Aries, they can make good lovers. they tend to complement each other in regards to certain qualities. There's a lot of passion on the side of Aries. There's a stability and sensuality on the side of Taurus. So it's good. However, long-term wise, they can be quite a difficult match. They both are extraordinarily stubborn. And Aries tends to hurt Taurus. So that's something to bear in mind. From an astrological point of view, that this is a complicated situation. The first card that I have here is the Knight of Cups. The Knight of Cups is the stalwart champion fighting for something he truly believes in. He has a golden goblet in his hand and he's walking through the desert and he's about to come upon an oasis. This represents you. You're looking for love. You haven't given up yet. You're walking through this kind of trying time while still holding faith that there's something good will come. I do sense that you will have an opportunity to improve matters. It will happen at the end of summer. It will not happen now. So you wait until around the September time is when you'll see it. And it will be something that offers you a sign. You'll see movement. He'll give you an indication that he may be interested. It's possible he may come around for a booty call. Bear that in mind. Or that he'll come around for sex or a physical relationship of some sort or something that shows you he's still interested. And that may give you hope, but it may be temporary. For the next card that I have is the Six of Pentacles. Mrs. Cat brought up the fact that Gia said he knew his rights. Well, he sure as hell knew his rights because the Six of Pentacles is a man who is withholding. This is a merchant, a wealthy merchant, who is giving out some coins to indigents, to poor people who are kneeling before him. But he is holding something back. He knows what is rightfully his and will give only a bit of himself. This is a man who is not going to fully open up to you anytime soon. That he may return and offer something. We see that towards September time. This is likely going to be a result of the work that you've done, the honey jar, the reconciliation, and the healing candles. But that there is going to be a part of him that isn't fully going to return back. And this revolves around the idea that he's not actually ready to make the social commitment that comes with relationships. Relationships are commitments on multiple different levels. They're intellectual, they're emotional. Their physical commitments, right? You promise not to be with anyone else other than that person. But they're also social commitments. They require something that you give of yourself, financial, etc. And that's why for you haven't gotten married so far, is that he wasn't ready for that aspect of things. He wasn't ready for it, and he's not going to be ready for it right now. And that means that because he's unwilling to take on that social component, reconciliation with him is going to be very difficult. He may want something emotional, want to talk, he may want to lean on you, he may want to enjoy the comforts of the hearth, he may want something physical, the aspect of when it comes to the social, him stepping up to his responsibilities, that's what he's going to hold back. Does that mean you should give up? No. The final card that we have is the High Priestess. The High Priestess, as Ms. Cat is quite fond of saying, is listen to your reader. I think your readers, Ms. Aida, and what Ms. Cat said quite earlier, are quite important for you to take on. There's still some hope here, but work with a clear goal in mind. It should not be, and I'm going to be very blunt with you, him returning to you. That is not success. That's you going back to where things were, and that's not a good place. It should be him coming back and marrying you. Okay? I'm making that clear.
Yes.
That is your end goal. Him coming back and marrying. Anything short of that is a sign that it did not work, and you need to let this guy go. The good news is you will gain a very important experience in this, and you will be better off for it. But my reading indicates that there is still a lot he's holding back on, and I don't suspect it's going to be an easy road ahead. Work with an open heart and a clear mind towards your goal of what you intend. If you do not get it within a reasonable time period, you need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's see what Papa G has to say when he does a reading on this.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Hello, Gigi.
Hi.
I have to ask, I laid your cards while Conjure Manali was talking to you, and I have to ask you one question before I start. Did he leave through, did either one of you cheat on the other before he left?
I'm not sure if he cheated. I did go out one night with a friend, and somebody kissed me, but nothing else happened from there.
Was that the cause of the fight?
No. It was my temper, my Aries temper.
Okay. Well, the first card is the snake card, which usually signifies the other woman, which the other woman could be someone he was seeing, or you could be the other woman, or it means deception. One of you is not being honest with the other one. A lot of times it comes up as the other woman, but it can be deception. So there was something the two of you weren't honest with each other about that led to the situation you're in, that led to him leaving. And it could be expectations. I mean, you know, what you expected out of this relationship, where would it go? Because the next card is the heart card, which means is a signal of love, meaning there was some sort of deception attached to the relationship, how long it was going to last, what one felt versus what the other one felt. With the third card, and I did draw a fourth one for you, leading is the rider. It is a man on a horse riding away. And it sort of signifies that, well, it doesn't sort of signify, it does signify. He's left the relationship. He's riding away out of your life. But the card that I drew an extra one because I didn't want it to end that way is the bouquet card. It is a bouquet of flowers. And it means the fact that he did that was actually a gift to you, showing you will actually be better off, at least for now, unless he changes his tune and you fix it all up with each other. But for right now, it's better that he not be there in the capacity that he wanted to be there. It's in the long term, it's best for you.
Okay.
At least for now. I always tell people, you know, a card reading is a picture of your situation at the moment the cards were pulled. Anyone can walk out the door and change it. And usually things go in cycles, usually three-month cycles. We have like four different themes of our life in a year. And after about 3 months, you know, see if it changes. If the situation becomes better, worse. If that's still true, if the reading's still true, it's good for you. If it's not, then you can, you know, work on it.
Okay. Sounds good.
All righty. Well, I'm going to mention that there's been a bunch of kibitzing in the nicest way in the chat room. We have a bunch of people in chat, and a bunch of those people in the chat room are professional readers. And if you get the chat log after the show is over, you can read what they have to say. Grey Wolf Townsend had pulled the Eight of Cups, which is also somebody walking away. And Ollie said something which he did not say out loud, but he typed it. She mentioned temper. This is the issue with Aries and Taurus. This pairing knows how to fight. LOL. And I answered, tell me about it, Ollie. I was married to an Aries myself. And we didn't fight often. We were not constantly bickering. But Mars rules Aries and Venus rules Taurus. And it's kind of a struggle sometimes. And, you know, your temper, that's an Aries thing. Okay. So anyway, we'll post the chat log and you can read about it afterwards. So I'm going to give you some ideas for root work. My feeling here is you asked the question, are you wasting your time? And we're kind of getting the answer kind of yeah, but it's a soft yeah. It's not like get him the hell away from you and the child. It's like unless he were to really change his mind and decide to come back and marry you, you are wasting your time. He has He has filed for 50-50 custody. That's very Aries. They're very fair. They want, you know, they want to do what's right, and they're good about that. He says he refuses to speak to you about things that are not related to the sun. That's what it is. So now what you're going to have to do is, the sun is the only link between the two of you. And you have a couple of choices here. You could use the sun as a go-between, and some mothers do this. I don't recommend it too much, but I'll give you a spell that does this. When he comes to pick up the child, make sure that you've bathed the child and put some thing in the clothing of the child or in the hair, depending on the age of the child or how you do it, something inconspicuous, which is about peace, like peaceful home, which shows a family, or something that shows maybe return to me, but that's more between you and him. When he touches or bathes the child, he will get that stuff on him. And this is a very simple old-fashioned way to work. Peaceful home would be a good addition. Marriage would be a good addition. And you can use these in the form of oils. You can use them in the form of powders. You can use them in the form of incense if you want to smoke the child's clothing, though that will leave a smoky smell, and I wouldn't probably do that with a baby. And you can also do it on the shoes and so forth. I want you to be also very cautious and careful about one thing. And in these modern times and modern days and age, trust but verify. Make sure that when he does take the child, you know where they're going. He may have another lover on the side already. Aries don't usually wait around. Make sure.
No, he's a Taurus. I'm an Aries.
Oh, he's the Taurus. I'm sorry. You're right. He's a Taurus. Yeah. Well, then he's going to want. He's going to be a little more stick to you, probably. He's a tough one. Tauruses don't like to change. Once they made up their mind, if they have a grudge, they'll bear it forever.
Yes.
You may be the one who's flirting around. Yes, right. I was mistaken. You were the one who got kissed. I know nothing happened, but that's the Aries. If you want to use the child that way, that would be fine. It was not going to harm the child to be used as a go-between. But I would say in this life, I would also make sure that you have gotten a DNA sample of the child, the child's handprints and footprints. You don't know. When people have 50-50 custody, sometimes people walk off with the child. I'm just saying, and I'm only saying that not because I distrust the man, but because I've seen it happen. If you knew the number of lady clients I have who the husband took the child for the weekend and went to, not just Utah, not just Montana, but Tunisia, Egypt, China, okay? So, so just make sure you have some sort of a connection there. You also want to put in in the child's clothing. You can take any of the clothing that you have the baby to wear. Take one of your hairs, if you have long enough hair, thread it on a needle, run it into the seam of the clothes, especially around the shoulder where there's a double seam usually, and then clip it at either end so the hair doesn't show. So the child always has you on them. If the child has a jacket or something like that, you can just run it into the lining of the jacket. Always have something of yourself in the child's clothing, all of the child's clothing. It's very important that the child be connected to you at all times. Okay. If your hair is so short that you can't thread it on a needle and run it into the clothing, people will put so their fingernails, just work their fingernail into the seam or whatever. And please do that. I don't distrust the guy, but I would say that I do want you to do that. Reconciliation work with a Taurus trying to do some sort of reconciliation can be difficult. They are stubborn people.
Very.
Mm-hmm. And I would say you may not get him back unless it can be a marriage. Okay, sorry, that's just what I see, and I wish you all the best, but I'm not really feeling that this is going to work out real well for you.
Set yourself a deadline. Work up until that, and then move on.
Good point. Set a deadline. Absolutely. All right. Now we are going to turn this over to the electronic, robotic, and technical aspect of our show.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Kendallo's Corner with Kendallo Condisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand and Paige the Fear You, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Papa G of LiveMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee. Take it away, Papa G.
Thank you, Papa Newt. I wanted to do something that was, of course, dirt-related. And, of course, whenever I write a spell, I'm thinking about, well, I'm going to write something that I can use, too. And it's something for balance in your life between home, work, and spirituality. And we work so much in the shop that we rarely get a day off. When it comes Sunday, it's like we're tired and still have to go to the shop and sometimes don't go to church. So there's not a balance there. So what you do is you actually go to three places in your life. You go to take dirt from your home. If you live in an apartment, go to the closest part of the building you live in to get a little bit, or from a potted plant like Miss Cat had mentioned. Go to your work, a little bit of dirt from there. And then the third place is something that makes you grounded or feel spiritual, like your church, a synagogue, even a yoga studio or a community center, something that raises your spiritual energy. And you combine all three of those dirts together and mix in Lucky Mojo's Clarity Sachet Powder. And it'll give you a clear intention of what you're wanting. You're wanting balance in your life. And really get your hands into the dirt and, you know, mix up any clumps there are. Try to make it more fine, dirt-like. Put your energy into it. Spread it out in the center of a plate. And what you do is you can take a pen or a toothpick or your finger, whatever, and write your name and the word balance directly into the dirt. You can also do it with sigils. If you want to, make a sigil of your name and the word balance and whatever sentence you're wanting. If you want to write a petition that says exactly what you're wanting, do that and put it under the dirt. Just make sure to fold it towards you so that this thing will come into your life and manifest. And then in the shape of a triangle, take three white candles. The 4-inch chime candles are fine. They're the little... some people call them spell candles. Those are chime candles. And anoint them with Lucky Mojo Blessing Oil. Place them around the dirt in the shape of a triangle. Light them. Allow them to burn. And when they finished, gather up all of that dirt into a brown paper bag and return 1/3 of it to each of the places you took it from. And
wow.
As we were talking, I'd like to add something that Miss Kat mentioned was, if you want, take a picture, like she said, take a picture of you at each of these places and, you know, burn it and include the ashes. That would be even better.
So this is a wonderful example of something that goes back a long way, burning candles in a triangle, which can either mean burning three candles or burning them in a triangular form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this, of course, I'm Jewish, so I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you could make a triangle in the dirt for the three different locations, and then put the candles at the opposite points, so now you've made a six-pointed star. That's just me, you know. You could also put the candles just in that same triangle. You don't have to draw a triangle, but there's a lot of ways to work with this sort of stuff. And when you say a plate, I'm going to add a little something here. One of the nicest kind of things to work with is a pizza tray. Those pizza trays are just a good size to do this kind of work. I'm talking about, you know, no, not the piece of cardboard that comes from the pizza place. I'm talking about a regular professional pizza tray.
So I've been recently buying a lot of silver platters from, like, the Goodwill and eBay to do the work on because, you know, we talked about one time before that Reynolds wrap on a cookie sheet didn't look too pretty, you know.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Troll, Lucky Mojo, my husband Nagashiva says, draw a heart in the dirt. That's good, too. And if you draw a heart one way and a heart upside down the other way, you end up with the Star of David, too. Just saying. So any of these ways of working is absolutely wonderful. But the idea here reminds me of the old Masonic rule that there's 24 hours in a day, and we break it down into 3 8-hour sections. One is for work, one is for one's spiritual development, one is for sleep or restoration. And these are the kinds of things of dividing your day into different times, different places, your home, your work, and whatever it is that renews, refreshes, and helps your spirit, really will calm you down if you're one of those people who finds yourself rushing from place to place, thing to thing, never knowing what you're doing next. A lot of us need to integrate those parts of our lives. People who hate their jobs and just go there for the money. People who go home and they're bored because there's something to do at home and they wish they were at work. People who spend all their time in spiritual life and they don't bother getting a job. This is a good thing. Balance them out.
It's kind of hard when you love what you do and you're like, I'm supposed to take a day off somewhere, aren't I?
Well, that's the
And then when
Tauruses.
You do, you don't know what to do with it.
Oh, that's the Tauruses, sweetheart. We Tauruses do have a problem. When people ask me, what's my hobby, I just look at them and go, what are you talking about? My life is my hobby. My job is my hobby.
Yes.
I don't have a hobby. I have a life. But then I'm one of those people, like many Tauruses, we are kind of nonstop. Whatever it is we do it nonstop. So that's us.
Yes.
Tauruses, of course, we tend to leave behind the spiritual world because we become so enmeshed in practicality. Sagittarians, on the other hand, are so philosophic and religious that they sometimes forget to take care of their friends and family. So we all have our weaknesses and our strengths. I love this spell. I think this is a really good one for self-work, self-help, and self-blessing. The use of clarity in here is also great.
And what a great way of using dirt, too, which has a nice grounding effect to balance things out. So I think it's a great, great spell.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. What I'm going to say here is, let's imagine that you were not a Taurus and this wasn't a show about dirt. You could use water from three locations if you were a water sign and blend those waters together and sprinkle them at the three places. Just saying,
right.
If you were a water sign.
The priest took water from the Jordan. It was part of what she baptized me with.
Yeah. Of course, now if you were an air sign, you could just go capture a cup of air from each place and stick them in your head. In them. I don't know. Well, I'm a Taurus, so I like the dirt spell. Thank you so much, Papaji. That was a great little spell. Now we're going to turn it over to Taurus number three. That would be Papa Newt. It's the all Papa, all Taurus show.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali. And thank you, Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rubricers will be Candelo Cambisa of Cambisa.org in West Palm Beach, Florida, bringing us the topic, offerings for ancestors. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at theconjurman.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt.
Welcome.
Thank you, Papa G, for being our guest and bringing us such a dirty topic.
Dirty topic.
I love it.
Yeah, this is a good one. We like to make our little mud pies. And thank you, Conjurman Ali, for being here and holding down the fort as usual.
Always a pleasure and always fun to be your co-host.
Yeah, and I'm just going to let everybody know, go get your Lucky Mojo newsletter, get your free discount, not free, but get your discount coupons and check out our new candles. All right, everybody, good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Bye-bye.